We are ready to come clean before God in our prayer of confession. It's a responsive prayer, and so I ask you to respond where it's appropriate. Let us pray. Guiding God, we confess that sometimes we call on you, but still we do not open our ears to hear your response. We ask for your assistance. We do not always follow your guidance.
We pray for your protection, God.
Loving God, many times we expect to be treated fairly and equitably in the world, but we do not extend a caring hand to show others the care that you show us.
We pray for your love, God.
Comforting God, we worry and fret, think about the what-ifs and the what-nows, while all around us creation is gifting us with your light and your presence in the here and the now.
We pray for your comfort, God.
Evolving God, there are times we forget to think and dream bigger than what is obvious to our narrow, small ways of being. We need reminders that your vision for our world is greater than we can ever ask or imagine.
We pray for your wisdom, God.
We are limited creatures, God. We confess our boundaries and barriers to you, even still unaware of all the ways that we hold ourselves back from your boundless love. Hear these words of assurance. If we are willing, God will help us open our minds and our souls to be loving, creative, and joy-filled. So open your ears, your eyes, your hands, and tune into God's expanding creativity and joy in the world. Let God open your heart so that you may continue to grow into Spirit's boundless love. Amen and amen.
As you can see, just this week, in fact, Thursday morning, we had new stained glass windows installed. Trina Primer, who created the stained glass over the screen, also created these ones to fit in with the stained glass. The fascinating thing we saw when she started to put them in is that when the trees are waving behind the windows, it feels like they're alive. The water is flowing, the Sheep River, the grasses are growing, and each of them represents something of our life as a community and the wider Christian community. We have a baptism, we have a communion one, we have, of course, the big rock. We have community. And I invite you after we have Christmas and Easter, I invite you after to come and take a look at the stained glass windows. But now we are going to dedicate these windows along with the windows that were installed in the west foyer that came from the former church building. We are privileged this morning, in fact, to have Gladys Green, who was Gladys Gaiman, join us today, in whose parents' names those stained glass windows were dedicated in 1983. Where is Gladys? She's here. Right there, right back in the middle there. It's great to have you here, Gladys, to join us this morning. And I don't know if Lana made it today. I didn't see her earlier. Ah, Lana is back there! And in whose name? The Hutchinsons as well. Stanley and May, her parents, they were dedicated as well. So good to have you on it. So we dedicate both windows, in both sets of windows today to the glory of God. Please join me in prayer. Giver of all good gifts, it is by your power that all things are made. We give you thanks for your marvelous wonders and for the work of human hands. Be with us now as we receive these gifts that come from you. We ask for your blessing and return them to your service. May your face shine upon what we do here today. That all might draw nearer to you and praise your name. Amen.
I should note also that the window.
west side of the Quay. We're also dedicated to Harold George Millard, who is son of former minister here, Robert Millard, whose son died 1983, the year that they were dedicated. So they had all three names they are dedicated to and have a plaque on the bottom of those windows. Let's join together in the words of dedication. In the name of the Holy and Triune God, Creator of Christ and Spirit,
we dedicate these windows to the glory of God.
With gratitude and reverence,
we dedicate these windows to the glory of God.
For the beauty of this holy place and for the sake of all God's people,
we dedicate these windows to the glory of God.
Let us pray. God of the universe, may the light of your love shine through these windows we dedicate to your glory. May all who gaze upon them sense your beauty and peace. Reminded of the stories and symbols of your faithfulness, may we give thanks and grow in faith and love. Amen. We are grateful for those who contributed, those who have done the work. We have had a centennial committee for more than a year now that has put together all that we're experiencing last night and today, who put together the book that will be on sale following the service about the history of this church, of which we learned some last night. And we are grateful for the many, many hands that took place in bringing us to this place today, 100 years later. I'm now going to invite Marilyn Evelyns to come forward. It's really neat to know both of your predecessors well that have served this community so well in the past couple of decades, in fact. So I'm going to invite Marilyn forward to share with us a song.
Good morning. And happy 100th anniversary. What a milestone to be celebrating. And last evening and today, it's just so wonderful to see familiar faces and have conversations with so many folks that we've known over the years. Craig, my husband, and our daughter Lindsay, and I are all so blessed to be here among you today as you celebrate this wonderful milestone. I also bring greetings from our son, Sean, who is living in Texas, Houston, Texas right now, and I bring greetings from him, his wife, Tanya, and their precious three little children, Karis, Titus, and Tiana. What an amazing celebration, not only for Okotoks United Church, but also for the Okotoks DeWinton Pastoral Charge, and for our denomination, this United Church of ours. You've provided years of service, 10 decades of faithful service, Christian service, through worship and your outgoing outreach and pastoral care and witness. And it's within that context that I'm reading the very familiar and beloved Psalm 121. These secrets have been heard throughout the generations. And today I think it's particularly meaningful for us as people of faith who live in or near the foothills. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And we hear from the Gospel of Luke this message, which I thought was particularly appropriate for today. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. It's like a person building a house by digging deep and laying the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the rising water smashed against that house, but the water couldn't shake the house because it was well built. But those who don't put into practice what they hear are like a person who built a house without a foundation. The flood water smashed against it, and it collapsed instantly. It was completely destroyed." We hear this from our holy word this morning, and thank God for this word. On June 24th, it is exactly 100 years ago, yesterday in fact, June 24th, 1917, in the midst of the Great War, two little congregations from the Methodist and Presbyterian denominations came together to form what would become the United Church of Okotoks. Anticipating the larger union of these denominations, which wouldn't take place, in fact, for another 8 years. We were before our time. The town of Okotoks, in fact, had only been incorporated for 13 years and had a population of between 500 and 600 at that time. It wasn't, in fact, until the 1970s that the population of Okotoks doubled from that 600 or so. And in 1976, just 41 years ago, the population of Okotoks was 1,928 residents, 40 years ago. It has, in fact, doubled in size every decade since then, to close to 30,000 now. I did some mean calculating. Over the last 100 years, Okotoks United Church has conducted, this is easy, 5,200 regular Sunday morning services. But they sometimes also had evening services in the early days. You had special services for Christmas and Easter and other special events, and then we get to about 7,000 worship services over the last 100 years at the United Church of Okotoks, or eventually switched over, we don't know why, to Okotoks United Church. Multiply that by a conservative maybe 60 attendees at these worship services, and you have 420,000 hours of worship in this faith community alone over the years. Or multiply 7,000 worship services times four hymns or choruses for each service, and you get 28,000 hymns sung over 100 years. I didn't include the anthems that the choirs sing. And if you multiply those 28,000 hymns with that conservative 60 worshipers, you will get 1,680,000 voices raised in praise to God over these years. Not to mention the hours spent in prayer and catching up on sleep through the sermons. My predecessor not included. Maybe me, because I catch you once in a while, Susan. Hundreds of children and youth have learned about God and made a commitment to following Christ through this community. A few have gone on to be United Church ministers. Thousands of hours have been spent and hundreds of thousands of dollars have been raised over the years for missions, programs, and serving the community. This church has fed the hungry and cared for the sick and bereaved. Hundreds of hours of phone calls and visits with the elderly and ill have taken place in the name of Okotoks United Church. It makes me teary even to think about it. People have prayed together, played together, grieved, laughed, and cried together in this community. Hundreds of turkeys have been cooked for turkey suppers, Right, Cynthia?
Yes.
Thousands of pies and buns and hundreds of pounds of potatoes have been prepared by women and men over the decades. Camping, parading, picnicking, and celebrating have been mainstays of this community. And more food than ever could be imagined has been consumed by United Church folk in the community in the two buildings over 100 years. We do food well. Though I am grateful that the days of tomato aspic and jelly salads have fallen by the wayside. Children, adults, and youth have been baptized by this community. Weddings, funerals, celebrations of life, and other important milestones have taken place in and through this community who have provided space for these things to take place. From its earliest days, the church has been building for life. Building for life. Sharing the life-giving message of love, hope, and acceptance. The good news of Jesus Christ. There have been bumps along the way, no doubt. Yet the pioneering spirit of this congregation has persevered and has seen the community through the tough times. It still does. Thinking about a scripture for this celebration service, I was hit by the aptness of the Luke passage that I just read, where Jesus compares those who listen to his teachings and follows them to building on a rock, solid, firm, unshakable. It will be battered by storms, but will not fall. We are indeed built on the solid, life-giving rock of Christ and his teachings. In fact, though, it was a little play on words, because if you translate Okotoks from the Blackfoot language to English, it means rock. We are literally Rock United Church. We are. You translate it? We are Rock United Church. Christ's teachings remind us that we are to serve the least and the lost of the world, to tend to our neighbor and love sacrificially. If you read the article in the paper in the Western Wheel this past week, you were reminded that the heart of this community is service. Caring for each other and reaching out is who we are, whether providing jackets and lunches to those in need, or building stoves, schools, homes, and community centers in other parts of the world. We follow Jesus' teachings, not by saying we do it, but by doing it. By putting them into action, by living his teachings in everyday, practical ways, they will know we are Christians by our life. Jesus also spoke about what happens when we don't follow his teachings. It is, he says, as if you build your house on no foundation whatsoever, and when the first flood comes along, it's going to tear the building down. If any community knows about floods, it's this community. Having weathered many floods in the river valley over the years, it has withstood the test of time and has remained not only standing, but resolute and faithful, making sure it remains solid for the sake of serving Christ in the broader community. Most recently, in the 2013 flood, when we housed refugees from High River and provided space for High River United Church to worship during a very difficult time in the life of their community. We continue to be firmly grounded on a strong foundation of faith, love, and hope. Yet a church that follows Christ can never be satisfied with what it has done. You must always be building for life, the abundant life that Jesus spoke of. We must always look to the future and live to be a beacon of light and hope to a world in desperate need of good news. Church that does not know how to appeal to and build for younger generations has no future. This week, anticipating that I would be speaking this week, I initiated a conversation with three young people that I didn't know, but I thought, I better do my research. There's three young people between the ages of 20 and 30 And I wanted to see what they thought about the church. I knew nothing about their backgrounds. One was a hairdresser where I went to get my hair cut. Another was a personal trainer at the gym I should go to more often. And the other was a young assistant at my doctor's office. And it's actually very revealing when you take the time to have conversations about church with young people. They're really very receptive if you're interested in hearing what they have to say. In all cases, these young people had gone to church as children, but had dropped out at some point. One had just recently started back to church after a crisis. Not in her life, but in her friend's life. When I asked them what it would take to get them back to church and keep them there, they all had the exact same answer. Every one of them. It was community. A place to belong. One said she would like to go to church to find a community, but it's hard to go alone, she said. If she had someone to go with, she'd like to go to church again. And we think we need to get better at welcoming and inviting. People want to come. One said that technology and social media had drastically changed things for her generation. She gets a greater sense of community among friends than her community gets out of going to church. And they connect frequently via social media, which is where they also get their information. Her parents, in fact, attend an Alliance Church in Calgary, which she has recently gone back to. She works at a bar, that is her career, and she has more friends outside of the church than in the church. She has engaged in some activities that her parents and church have frowned upon, and she doesn't feel as comfortable there as she used to. But she doesn't really care what her parents believe, in fact. She doesn't believe what they believe, and she feels that community and caring for each other matter more than what you believe. Some of her best friends have alternative lifestyles, and they're not involved in the church, and she likes it that way. She expressed the view that all people make mistakes and no one, religious or not, has a corner on heaven. And she questions the existence of hell. Surprised me coming from a young person coming from a fairly conservative tradition. The other young woman I spoke to had been baptized in the United Church and attended when she was young, but when her family moved, they hadn't found a church they liked, so they didn't go back. Pretty common stories you hear today from young people. Diana Butler Bass, in her book Christianity After Religion, backs up what these young people are saying. People are leaving church because the church of the past, and perhaps even of today, don't hold any special appeal. They're either not drawn to church or they don't see much value in it. And even though people are looking for places to be spiritually nurtured, they're not looking for it in the church. Diana Butler Bass says that in days past, Christian faith progressed from belief to behavior to belonging. Belief, behavior, belonging was the progression of faith in days past. That is, you were considered a good Christian if you agreed to a certain set of beliefs that resulted in certain behaviors. Behaviors which, among other things, most likely included abstinence from drinking, no smoking, no sex, no dancing, no playing cards, don't shop on Sunday. You get it. Some of you grow up in the families that said that when you were young. And once you professed belief in certain doctrines and refrained from certain behaviors, at least publicly, you could belong to the church. The church, she says, began to get a reputation for being rule-bound rather than love-oriented. And the church opened itself up to cries of hypocrisy when Christians never quite lived up to what it preached. Butler Bass says that this system of perceived orthodoxy is not only changing, but it is not biblical. Jesus did not present to his disciples an orderly list of beliefs that they were expected to agree to in order to follow him. He didn't ask them about their beliefs before he invited them to be in community. He invited people to follow him, to learn from him, to do what he did, and then and only then might their faith and belief grow. His invitation was to come and follow him and learn from him, and belief might follow. People need to feel loved and accepted before they see any credibility in what we preach. Belonging precedes belief. We need to get better at engaging the conversations without telling people what to believe. We need to create a safe place for people to question, to search, and to doubt. There are so many people longing for a place to belong, to find community. And people are waiting to be invited and to come with you, so they don't feel alone when they come to church. Many people have not walked into a church, unlike 50 years or 100 years ago. And we have to be great at hospitality, making the stranger feel welcome. And that's all of us. If we're building for life, we have to be a life-giving community. The church of the future will be about openness, dialogue, compassion, exploration, and creativity. We will rediscover God in and amongst ourselves in our conversations, actions, and our spiritual practices. We will recover the faith of the early followers of Christ and be more comfortable living with mystery, questions, and wonder, rather than with certainty, authority, and any kind of rigid doctrine. People now have information literally at their fingertips, but they don't have a sense of community and belonging. The church being built today for tomorrow will move from giving information to being a place of transformation. It will move from the head to the heart and give people a place where they can explore for themselves, which doesn't mean we won't share Christ's teachings, it's just that we won't require belief in them until people explore and test them for themselves. And there's one other trend already taking place. Christians now and in the future will seek truth not only in their own tradition, but wherever they find it. What they seek must resonate authentically with them. They may find it in other religious traditions or in science, art, activism, or even politics. Although I doubt that today. They will align themselves with those who follow a more enlightened way, regardless of religion, gender, race, or any other human-made boundaries. Christ can be found in truth no matter where we find it. Christianity is changing. The world is changing. The speed of change is dramatic and unprecedented in history. Communication and information dissemination is instantaneous and ubiquitous, altering the way we perceive the world. We must be open and creative, doing church in new ways, ways that appeal to the unchurched who enter our doors. For there are now more people in our communities who do not know Christ than those who do. We must create places of belonging and beauty, all the while grounded in the teachings and way of Jesus, our rock. And we must look to God for our strength and help, as Psalm 121 reminded us this morning. We are a people of light and hope. We cannot be dragged down by the darkness that exists in the world, for we put our faith in the one who overcomes darkness. We are a reflection of Christ in the world. Christian author Glennon Doyle Melton perhaps says it best. She writes, "Meet darkness with light. Meet fear with senseless, relentless, extravagant love." What the future holds is uncertain. And it doesn't matter. In the next century, the church, this church, will do what we have always done. We will continue to withstand the forces of injustice, hatred, and destruction in the world and illuminate the darkness with love, hope, and truth. As we continue to build on the rock that is Jesus Christ, we will be Okotoks, Rock United Church, built on a strong foundation and building for life. Amen. I'm going to invite the readers to come forward, and I'm going to invite you to join in the anniversary liturgy that you will see on the screen.
congratulations.
Do you, As people of Christ, holy and set apart for the work of the church, commit yourselves to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ for the sake of helping and healing this beautiful, fragile world, giving assistance to those in need, loving those who are broken, and encouraging your brothers and sisters in faith. Will you commit to nurturing your Christian faith and using your gifts and service to the church and the world, caring for creation and loving all people?
We dedicate ourselves to Christ's service.
In hope and trusting in God through this, we join our voices reciting together one of the United Church's doctrinal statements, as we know as a new creed. Let us recite together. We are not alone.
We live in God's world.
We believe in God, who has created and is creating,
who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect and creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Let us now take this opportunity to pray the prayers of the people for our community and for our world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Okotoks United Church Congregation and the journey that started so many years ago, and so many plans ago, and so many dreams ago. We celebrate all the joys that have been birthed in these 100 years. We celebrate the happy times, all the accomplishments, and all the triumphs. Thank you, God, for blessing us. We acknowledge that there have been and will continue to be struggles and heartaches. Yet we have traveled together under your protection and love. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us in good times and bad. Eternal God, we thank you for calling us by name. In you we live and move and grow. As we pray for this congregation, we also pray for churches and Christians throughout the world. Remind us of our common foundation in Christ. May we grow together in faith and in love until we attain that unity which is your will. Build us together in Christ. Make us your dwelling place. Send down your Spirit so that we may know Jesus and bear witness to our life and unity in him. May we know the mind of Christ in order to speak God's wisdom everywhere. Strengthen us to work towards peace and reconciliation in church and society. Build us together in Christ. Make us your dwelling place. We pray for all churches and all faith communities in the world which are experiencing change, growth or struggle, reconciliation, persecution, or conflict. Inspire and strengthen them in works of witness and service. Build us together in God. Make us your dwelling place. We pray for those who have no home, no land, no food, no work, no medicine, no peace. May we recognize and serve Christ in the suffering and in those who are in need. Build us together in Christ. Make us your dwelling place. Thank you for all your gifts of creation. Teach us to share with others our time, our energy, our resources, and our love. Make us sensitive and responsive to the wounds in the human family and in creation. May we be faithful to our calling and live a long life on earth. May we give our whole life to Christ, for we belong to him, and in him are united all things on heaven and on earth. Almighty God, continue to empower us with your Spirit. We give you thanks for the work you have done in the past through this community of believers. We remember the souls that have come and gone before us
and we pray for those who will come after us. We give thanks for their work and their faithfulness. Give us strength and hope for the future. Break down the barriers of prejudice and hatred, that we may be reconciled with all people. May we proclaim the good news of love, forgiveness, and freedom throughout the world. Challenge us to move beyond our apathy and fear, to find new expressions of faith that better serve your dream for the world. Help us to be bold in expressing who we are and what we live for, that others might be inspired. Draw us close to you. May all that we do and say bear witness to all you have done and continue to do through us. In the name of and through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the saving one who taught us to sing together his prayer. Amen.